is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call. Let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Progressive Insurance, round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Josh Alper joins us, profootballtalk.com, to go over week 8, some of the games and some of the maybe the eye-opening ones and maybe the ones that are not so eye-opening but still worthy of discussion. How are you, my friend?
I'm great.
All right, listen, I was expecting at any moment Denver to put together a game and beat the Chiefs. 16 straight games is a lot, even if you're a struggling team. But is there something wrong with Kansas City? I mean, people said Patrick Mahomes had the flu, but is there something off about the way the Chiefs are playing right now?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely everything looked off on Sunday. But it's not the first time. It looked off in the win over the Jets. It's looked off at other points. There definitely is not quite the, you know, that's just inevitability that we're used to seeing from the Chiefs offense when it gets rolling. And there have been flashes of it, but the game in, game out certainly hasn't been there. And to see it fail to show up at all offensively against a Broncos team that, you know, gave up 70 points to the Dolphins and then has had all sorts of other issues this year, it is an eye opener, and it is something that makes you think, you know, maybe they are going to have to make a lot of calls in the next, you know, 36 hours and figure out who they can get in there to give some juice to that offense, because other than Kelce, it doesn't feel like there's a dynamic player to get who can get the ball in his hands and do things. And you know, that is certainly the way it felt for chunks of last year, and it all wound up working out. But it isn't a sure thing, and the team feels a lot more flawed than it did, heading into the season.
Yeah, no doubt. And likewise, a same kind of question. I don't mind San Francisco losing even at home to a Cincinnati Bengals team that has a healthy Joe Burrow, but there is a feeling like some wheels are coming off there. What do you make of the 49ers?
I would feel a lot more worried about them if Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams had played in that game. I think that almost overlines that the importance of having all of those pieces in place. And I'm not one who says Brock Purdy's the system quarterback, but any quarterback is better when they have all their tools at their disposal. And you take away those two players, and they both absences loomed large in that game. Now, Purdy didn't play well. I personally feel that he shouldn't have been playing at all yesterday. I think that clearing a player from a concussion in less than a week is just a recipe for disaster for the NFL, and I think it's something that they have to look at, especially when he hit his head again in the game and never even got checked by the concussion doctors. I think that that's something that really needs to get looked at. But on top of that, I think you're seeing a team that played lights out for the first 5 weeks of the season, and now they're dealing with some adversity, and they haven't dealt with it very well. On top of that, maybe it's enough to get by against a different team, and talk a little bit about how the Bengals seem to be fully back. All those questions early on about Joe Burrow's health, and this is the Bengals team we've seen for the last 2-3 seasons.
I was just going to go into that, which is maybe we could have said that when they, you know, a couple of weeks ago or whatnot, but it does feel like if you watch that game that this is the Bengals team that you wanted to see fully healthy or fully operational.
Yeah, Joe Burrow was cooking yesterday, and Joe Mixon looks great. Jamar Chase looks great. All of the pieces look like they're in place. They're healthy. They're moving along. They, you know, coming out of a bye, they clearly had a plan. They knew what they wanted to do to attack the 49ers defense, and they did it. It was a super impressive performance by them, and I think that race between the Bengals and the Ravens in the AFC North is going to be a fun one to watch over the back half of the season.
The Jacksonville Jaguars now have won 5 in a row. They're 6-2. I feel like they're the quietest 6-2 in the NFL. A lot of it is because they're Jacksonville, but a lot of it is, what is some of the reasons why we're not looking Jacksonville the way, maybe in the lens that we should be?
They're not killing anybody. And if you constantly win close games, I think about the Vikings last season. You draw more questions than applause. You say, what's going to happen when the break goes the other way. And, you know, there is obviously a case to be made in the NFL that if you keep winning games like that, you're making your breaks and you're doing that. And that's what Jacksonville's been doing. But because they haven't been beating, you know, great teams, we'll put that in quotation marks, because I don't know that anyone's a great team at this point in the season, but
yeah,
they haven't been beating the biggest names in the league, and they haven't been beating up on teams that are, you know, seen as being a little bit worse than playoff contenders. But, you know, the win is what matters, and they do, you know, they do just enough. Last, you know, every Steeler game feels like the team playing the Steelers is going to make some terrible mistake and hand the game to the Steelers, because that's how the Steelers win games this year. But the Jaguars didn't, and there's something to be said for that, especially on a day like yesterday where we saw so many teams who were incapable of not shooting themselves in the foot.
The Dallas Cowboys, I know they're the Dallas Cowboys, so it feels like they're either Super Bowl worthy or they're the worst team in the NFL. I know the answer is in the middle, but where are they leaning? I mean, look, this is a team that draws so much reaction from people, but in the end, I watch them in a game against the Rams and I say, this is a Super Bowl level team.
Yeah, you watch that game and they do, and then when they play the 49ers,
when they don't, right.
they look like they should be relegated to the USFL, right, or something. And now next week, you know, the second that this game ended, all anybody could talk about was next week you play the Eagles and what's going to happen there. And so, you know, that's the life of the Cowboys. They beat the Eagles next week. It's going to be the Cowboys are the team. The Cowboys are right in front. You know, the same way it was after the first couple of weeks of the season when they beat teams like 70-7 or whatever it was. That's the eternal question with them, but there's no doubt that when everything falls into place for the Cowboys, that they can beat anybody in the league. It's just they don't fall into place when they play the best teams in the league. So that's the thing for them. They need one marquee win against an Eagles, a 49ers, probably a Lions, somebody other than, you know, the Rams or the Jets and the Giants and the teams that feel like they're the teams that the Cowboys should beat. They need to surprise us, and the only way they're going to do that at this point is by really ransacking a very good team.
I always have trouble with this in terms of evaluating guys, especially rookies that have a great game, because I'm always like, well, we'll see, because we've always seen the back end of it. But in Tennessee, they're thrilled about Will Levis. But what do you make of his performance, and what do you make of his future with the Titans? Is it can they do something different offensively now that they have this guy that can go vertical?
Yeah, well, I was doing that game for PFT, so I watched it closely. And look, there were some real bad throws over the course of the game. He was a rookie. He absolutely had some moments where, you know, you kind of hide your eyes. But for that team to put up 28 points, in the NFL, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a big deal. They hadn't done it since the 2021 season.
Right.
To throw the ball deep, to take those kinds of risks, that's not Mike Vrabel's style of football. And I do wonder if he's going to be able to stomach doing it when those deep passes get picked off or when Will Levis makes a real boneheaded mistake. But I think it's absolutely the path to the future for them. If they lost yesterday, they would have been 2-5, right? And going nowhere. They're 3-4. The only chance they have is to try to spice things up the way they did yesterday. The plot they were on isn't going to work. And I think that, you know, Ryan Tannehill's not going to play this week. They win on Thursday night against the Steelers, and Levis has a couple more big plays like that. I just don't know how you could ever go back to the old way of playing football in Tennessee.
You make a good point, because a lot of times when you see a backup, whether it's a rookie, you're trying to see the same kind of thing. This is a completely different look because they have a quarterback that can do these things.
Yeah, and look, and it, you could see that the team responding to it in a way that, you know, it felt like it opened things up for Derrick Henry. It felt like it opened things up for everybody, you know, for DeAndre Hopkins. It was like, oh, right, DeAndre Hopkins
right.
is on this team. That's
right.
DeAndre Hopkins. That's what we're used to seeing. So I think it's a tough spot if Tannehill gets cleared in the next couple of weeks. But I do think that it is something that the Titans were using this year as sort of a transition year. They took him in the second round. They're looking to the future, and sometimes the future arrives earlier than you expect it to, and you just have to embrace it and go with it. And I'd be surprised if the Titans don't do that, if outside of this Thursday being a disaster.
Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You got it. Yeah, it's always good going around the league with him. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a Titans thing. Most of us have seen this with our teams where whether he's a rookie or maybe second-year guy or whatever, and they come in and they are completely different than the quarterback that they're playing. They're not a mirror image or somebody who's less than running the same offensive schemes. Will Levis does something completely different than what the Titans have done. Like you said, it's been a while since they scored more than 28 points in a game. They had 28 on 4 touchdowns to DeAndre Hopkins, who they just remembered they have.